Kaminsky, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Time is 7:04 on Wednesday, the middle of the week. The crack that you heard was not a meteor, was not the California state budget, but was rather the week splitting in two. So here we go. It's all downhill from here in a good way. Momentum is on our side. I'll tell you who does not have momentum, friends. Senator Jeff Flake today delivered his soliloquy, his swan song, condemning Trumpus Magnificus. One senator stayed to listen to his speech. Anyone wager a guess as to who that was? That's right. Dick Durbin, Senator Durbin from Illinois, the one and only Durbin that leaked out Trump's comments where he called Haiti and Africa poo holes. So this is where it is. Here's what's so funny about the speech. If you didn't listen to it, don't worry. Pretty much everything I told you yesterday happened in the speech today. If you listened to yesterday's show, you knew what it was going to be said even before it happened. Now we can just add a little bit of color to it and give it, I think, an interesting bit of context, because the speech primarily called out the president for being a loathsome creature who is destroying the integrity of the magnificent free press enshrined in the history of this great republic. The media must love this guy. So he talks about Trump's alternative facts and criticizes Trump for going after the press, for whom he has, I think, some nice words. Now, in his own words, this is Jeff Flake just hours ago talking about how we have abandoned the truth in 2017. And this is about Trump. Listen.
2017 was a year which saw the truth, objective, empirical, evidence-based truth, more battered and abused than at any time in the history of our country, at the hands of the most powerful figure in our government. It was a year which saw the White House enshrine alternative facts into the American lexicon as justification for what used to be simply called old-fashioned falsehoods. It was a year in which an unrelenting daily assault on the constitutionally protected free speech was launched by the same White House, an assault that is as unprecedented as it is unwarranted.
Now, he misspoke when he said free speech, because in the transcript that he provides of the speech, he writes free press. It's an important point. I think maybe it was psychologically driven, because he realized in the moment that the words were coming out of his mouth that they were ridiculous. Well, let's start with the statement from the get-go. This 2017 is the year that we saw lies, 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 is basically the gist of it. Friends, I have been a serious political observer for my entire certainly adult life, but I would even say my even adolescent life. And as long as I can remember, politics is not a place where truth is commonplace. I grew up, I came of age with Bill Clinton as president. I mean, geez Louise, did this guy just drop out of the universe in 2017? This is like, this guy reminds me of that guy. What's that movie? The one where the family thinks that there's a Cuban Missile Crisis. You know, the things that the missiles are going to come in, and the dad builds a bunker, and a false alarm, a plane crashes in the neighborhood, and the dad, they lock the family in the bunker, and then they reemerge 30 years later on this, and the neighborhood is gone. Is it Blast from the Past? That's it. Yes. And the guy, they reemerge from the, you know, bunker, and there's like a transvestite prostitute walking the street. Oh my gosh, they've mutated. Anyway, that's thinking there's actually nuclear fallout. Anyway, this is what Jeff Flake is acting like. He is acting as if he literally was born last year. Oh, he talks a little bit about Stalin. This sounds to me a lot like the Communist Party ideology, where, you know, where whatever the beginning of the Socialist Republic is, that's year one, and everything else before it is worthless and rotten, doesn't need to be studied or examined. Everything in history, everything in politics, everything requires context. I am not one to tell you that Trump doesn't lie. Of course he lies. He tells versions of the truth that best suit him, is the most charitable way of putting it. Okay, fine. But he is not the first president, certainly not the first politician to do that. You, Obama was a lying piece of crap. I mean, it doesn't even require taking apart. It's a ridiculous statement. But as far as this unrelenting daily assault on the constitutionally protected free press, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? What constitutionally provided liberties and rights is Trump stripping from the press? Answer that. The answer is zero, zip, nada, none. There is in no way. I saw yesterday when Trump kicked CNN reporter out of the Oval Office. Jim Acosta does not have a right enshrined in the Constitution to be in the Oval Office and be a DIC. You know what? OK, he doesn't have a right to do that. He has a right to write and say, report anything that he wishes. And those protections are very broad and ones that I will die supporting. I don't care how stupid or insane you are. I believe you have a right to say what's on your mind. And if you follow this program, you know I'm consistent on this topic. As an attorney, as a constitutional law aficionado, I'm here to tell you that Trump is not doing anything that abridges the constitutional rights of any reporters. He is calling them out for being liars in their own right. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I think, and I haven't said this yet, I think that this is really healthy. I think it's healthy. You've got a press that on one hand is holding the president accountable to the nth degree, and I think they're overplaying their hand, and I've explained that. And on the other side, you got a president who's willing to fight back. I like an even, well, it's hardly an even fight, but you know what? It's funny, because Trump single-handedly is taking on every left-wing nutjob reporter and so-called journalist, and he's doing okay. But it is not, what he is doing is not in any way, shape, or form an assault on the Constitution, assault on anyone's constitutionally protected rights, let alone some sort of erosion of free speech. I don't see anybody, do you, it would, it's like saying, well, did Jim Acosta get arrested? Did he write a column that the president didn't like, and was he disappeared? Yeah, look, I'm not a conspiracy guy, but the Clintons disappeared a few people. You know, in fact, I will tell you, and it's ironic that this stuff is being said now, today. The irony, right? Jeff Flake is today on the floor of the Senate blabbing about how Trump is eroding free speech rights and free press rights. And meanwhile, today is a 20-year anniversary. Did you know this? 20-year anniversary of a little website called the Drudge Report. Now, they'd already been around, but this little website, 20-year anniversary of them breaking the Monica Lewinsky story. Now, do you know the story here about, you know, the context for this? Well, very briefly, you know the Monica Lewinsky story. But you might not know that the entire story was in the hands of, it had been thoroughly researched and vetted and scrutinized and investigated by a Newsweek reporter. And the Newsweek reporter, his name was Michael Isikoff. And he developed the story. It was a story of his career, and Newsweek spiked it. Now, Newsweek spiked it. Why? Because the head honchos, the grand poobahs of Newsweek, were what? Loyal Clinton sheep. And they were out to protect the president at all expenses. They don't, they put, now guess who's out of business, right? Who's not being printed anymore? Newsweek. Yeah. It wasn't even fit for the hamsters who people put in hamster cages, right? So Newsweek, the irony right now is, of course, Drudge is the master of the universe when it comes to online journalism, and Newsweek is yesterday's news. All right? But you had a hugely important story, one that established that the president of the United States was lying under oath and obstructing justice in a lawsuit brought by a victim, hashtag me too, Paula Jones, from his prolific career as a sex predator. And that story was spiked by a reporter, by management at a magazine, not because it wasn't factual, not because it wasn't correct, not because it wasn't thoroughly researched, but because it was politically inconvenient for the president that press supported. You want to talk to me, Jeff Flake, today on this great anniversary here of the Drudge Report breaking and totally upending modern day journalism? You want to talk to me on this day about compromised ethics of what the president is doing to compromise the free speech rights and free press rights of the press corps? This is absurd. It is patently absurd. And, you know, the connection, of course, the nexus here is that, well, a lot of over the years preceding the internet and what I think is the liberalization of media control, right? The internet brought about, and it started with talk radio. Talk radio, then the internet, took power away from big media to control all the news. And you want to talk about real control of what we were told every day? It was when the news was controlled by New York Times, LA Times, ABC, NBC, CBS. And literally a group of 20 people could get around a table of room and decided what we, the American public, knew and didn't know. That, my friends, is far greater of a threat to our democracy than Trump yelling and arguing with Jim Acosta. It's absurd. The argument, this argument is so tired, so farcical, and so thin, in fact, that it just blows my mind that it is even getting any serious attention. Now, why is it getting attention? Why is the media today talking about Jeff Flake, okay, and celebrating Jeff Flake when there was literally only one loser of a senator in the entire chamber there to listen to it, and Flake is talking to himself and to the cameras and to reporters and some staff? Why? Because to them, his speech in substance is validating. It validates them. And that's what the media wants in all of this. They want to be validated. Trust me, the media, if you want thin-skinned, silly people, and you want to put them all in a room, you think you think lawyers are bad. Har, har, har. Journalists, my friends, what just thin-skinned, self-involved, narcissistic buffoons, because they think that they control what happens out there. And the person that's changing the game, the person that's fighting back, they finally got somebody in the White House who is taking the fight to them, who has learned his lessons, watching Bush get, you know, knocked around like a piñata, and has decided, you know, hey, I'm fighting back. I saw what they did to him. I saw what it did to the midterms. I saw what it did to his final approval ratings. I see, you know, frankly, the press destroyed Bush's legacy. More so than Bush destroyed it on his own. But nothing rankles me more than throwing out accusations. Flake isn't a lawyer, right? He's not. Nothing rankles me more than when somebody is throwing out words, right, that have legal meaning, constitutionally protected free speech. Okay, you're protected. Your speech is protected from government intrusion or government prevention of you giving that speech. That's it. And as long as Trump's government is not acting against you to limit your speech, you're fine. You're not guaranteed to yell at him from the Oval Office. You're not. You're not guaranteed to yell at him, you know, and him to take it. You're not guaranteed for him to be sitting there and just going, I'm so sorry. I want to be more compassionate. I want to be a compassionate conservative. Please, please, please write a nice story about me. I love you. I love you, Jim Acosta. But they got so used to it with George Bush, Senior and Junior, and all the other, you know, wishy-washy, you know, hangdog Republicans, that they think they're entitled to it. And it's this sense of entitlement that is going to literally cost them. It is going to hurt because people are going to see right through it. Okay, back with more of this. Don't go anywhere. Sam Berjovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Berjovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Jeff Flake delivered his speech in Congress. Sorry, in the Senate chamber. He stood there. All by myself. Just kidding. He Dick Durbin was there. One out of, 99 senators was present for the speech. Big old yawn. Now, the reporters have gone gaga over the speech, but that was in part because, as I explained to you right before the break, Flake flattered them. He gave them some little kibbles and bits. Here, media, here, media. Listen to this.
Of course, the president has it precisely backward. Despotism is the enemy of the people. The free press is the despot's enemy, which makes the free press the guardian of democracy. When a figure in power reflexively calls any press that doesn't suit him fake news, it is that person who should be the figure of suspicion, not the press.
They should both be figures of suspicion. We should be suspicious of both Trump and the press. I'm just telling you, how is... I'm going to sound like one of those transgender people. This is not binary, okay? It's not one or the other, okay? You can have it both ways. Pick in the sides of the press. You know where this comes from? I spoke a little bit about this yesterday, but in a different way. This comes from a tremendous desire from people who get entrenched in Washington culture to want to be loved by the press. If you've ever had an article written about you and it's not flattering, and trust me, I know, it's not flattering, it kind of sucks. It sucks the first time and it sucks, you know, the next time and whatever, if you're the type of person that likes to be praised. I happen to be someone that does things not for praise. I love reading things about me that are horrible. I judge the source of who's writing it. So if a reporter from the Washington Post was to write about me, I would giggle if I saw something in there that called me a horrible racist or whatnot. All right. I know it's not true. And that's good enough for me. I got a thick skin. I'm comfortable in my own skin. Although it's a little dry right now from being in Utah last week. But anyway, my skin's very comfortable. Not saggy, not baggy, not too tight, just right. And no reporter can talk me out of that. But I am not usual. I am not your average guy that goes to Washington. These guys want love. And this is so pathetically transparent to me. This speech was a whole giant, love me, oh, please. You know, it's just a cry for affection and adoration from the media that Jeff Flake does not want to fall in the bad graces of. And he's not alone. This is very, very common. So today he is being feted by the liberal media as a hero, as somebody who's bravely taken the fight to Trump, who's taken on his own party, who is fantastic. I mean, in the history of the world, if you are a student of history, you know that the pioneers, the true revolutionaries, are very rarely popular They run afoul of groupthink, right? They're very rarely are they popular by consensus of a large group of people, especially not of establishment people. people in power, typically, you know, ruling elites, they want to preserve the status quo. If life is good for you, you don't want to rock the boat. Now, if you're a deplorable and, you know, your town has just been robbed of every job and there's illegals that are streaming into the country by the millions every year and your government is doing nothing about it. And, you know, so forth and so on. You're being taxed to death and your state is being run poorly and all that good stuff. The status quo is not acceptable. And it's to those people that Donald Trump speaks. All right, we got a special guest in here. Well, I'm just going to tell you, Sweet James. He's here in the studios. He's ready to talk to you. I'm going to ask him about Trump being fat. Should I do that? Is Trump fat? Can you hear me? No, you can't hear me yet. Okay, good. Good. I want to surprise him with it. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We got John Wolf up next with the news.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right, 800-222-5222 is the phone number. If you'd like to reach us, sam@samnation.com is the email. At the bottom of the hour here, and we have a special treat as promised. Drum roll, please. We have Sweet James. Sweet James, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Sam.
Oh, my goodness. It's been too long.
It has.
I know. We've been crying, and so this is nice. You heard us. Now, welcome to your own eponymous studios here, the Sweet James Studios. I'm glad we do reveal to you the location of the undisclosed location.
These are the Sam Nation Studios, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you're kind. Now, I want to get your opinion on this. I realize that you deal with all sorts of personal injuries, some more personal than others. But I want to ask you about this picture here. Now,
okay.
This is somebody's Twitter account. I don't even know. But it was in the Daily Mail today. And there's this thing called the Girther Movement. Have you heard about this?
I have not. What is the Girther Movement?
Well, these are people that are suspicious of Trump's claim that he is a mere 239 pounds. And they think that he's heavier. And here, I'm bringing this up to you because I know that besides being a phenomenal attorney, you also understand the world of sports.
Correct.
So in that capacity, here's a picture side by side.
Yes.
It says we want an accurate weight. It's got Donald Trump, 6'3", 239 pounds. And would you agree that he looks a little chubby?
Not chubby. He
looks like he's got a saggy butt right here. It's a saggy bottom.
It's hefty.
Yeah, it's hefty. And he's got white pants. He's golfing.
Yeah.
And then next to him is Tom Brady, who I understand the ladies think is quite hunky.
Apparently.
Okay. All right. And Tom Brady is 6'4", 225 pounds. Okay. What do you make of this? Do you think Trump is lying?
I don't. I really don't.
See, and now, is this because you work out and you understand the difference between fat and muscle?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, Tom Brady is an athlete. How many Super Bowls has the man won? And he's an amazing athlete. He's honed to physical perfection here. His muscle mass is amazing. And we have Trump, who's... How old is Trump?
He's 70, 71.
Yeah, I mean, he's in great shape for 71. Absolutely.
But
does not have that same muscle mass. Muscle weighs more than fat, you know.
I have a question. Do you think a lot of people out there are looking at this? I know it's not a political thing. I don't want to get into politics with you, but do you think a lot of people are looking at these criticisms of Trump and his weight and might be a little put off because they themselves might even be in worse physical shape?
Yeah, who tweeted that? What is it?
It's all over the media, and everybody on CNN and MSNBC is all having a field day with it. You know, they're all crowing about how fat Trump is. Meanwhile, the entire country is overweight, and people have got to be looking at this and going, I don't know. I think this could backfire big time. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what the problem is.
All right, have you worked on any crazy cases lately?
A lot, yes.
This time of year, do people get into quite a few accidents? Is this a dangerous time out there?
This is. It's not necessarily that there's more accidents. It's that people have put it off for so long over the holidays that they're coming to me now with their issues. So that tends to be the majority of the stuff right now is stuff that's been delayed when people didn't come to me early.
And you're not supposed to do that, right? You're not supposed to wait.
No, never.
So your case is not like a fine wine?
It does not get better with time.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Your personal injury case is not the nectar of gods. You don't want to put it in the cellar. Give this guy a call. And I tell the listeners every night that you're a great guy. And that you're easy to talk to, and you are. And now you guys can hear this. I'm glad that you came in. All right. Well, I know you got to run. Thank you so much for being here and joining us. And we will be right back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Sweet James.
Thank you so much for having me. Always glad to help.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Well, I feel a little awkward talking about Sweet James with him just having left the building, but here goes. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, and I am here speaking for my friend, Sweet James, who was just in the studio, as you heard. Isn't he a good guy? I tell you, he's easy to talk to. Would he be a guy that you could talk to about a problem? I'm asking you. I'm telling you, he is. And he's the guy you need to call if you've been hurt, if you've been injured. And by the way, you heard what he said. People have, you know, holidays, they get busy. Also, usually in the fall, like back to school, that people get really, parents get busy, and they don't call. Well, you heard what he said. Don't wait. Don't wait. It doesn't help you any. Give him a call. 800-881-2021. That's the number to have to keep close. James and his crew are standing by. They will help you. They'll get you through it. And they'll make sure that you don't get taken advantage of by the person that's responsible, their insurance company, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Let me start that over again. All consultations are free. And also no recovery, no fees. You don't pay him any money up front. All right. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Drudge Report. This is fascinating. 1/17/1998. Where were you on the 17th of January, 1998? Do you know where I was? Ah, crap. I was in high school. That's where I was. Senior year. Am I remembering this right? Yeah, senior year. And I remember this happening. And here is how this began. And you've been to the Drudge Report, right? You know that it's got the same dinky layout that it had back then, but it's the number one website that people really go to find out what's going on and what's important. And here is what it read. Blockbuster report, 23-year-old former White House intern, sex relationship with president. World exclusive, must credit the Drudge Report. At the last minute, at 6 p.m. on Saturday evening, Newsweek magazine, Newsweek who? We would say today, 20 years later. Newsweek magazine killed a story that was destined to shake official Washington to its foundation. A White House intern carried on a sexual affair with the President of the United States! Now, it goes on to detail that the young intern wrote long love letters to the president. They were delivered through a delivery service. She was a frequent visitor. They named Betty Curry, you know, Bill Clinton's private secretary, 57 at the time. Drudge Report also mentioned that they had found and believed tapes to be in existence of their conversations. Whew. Anyway, this upended. And I think rushed in the modern era of journalism. The assault, by the way, against the media is not from Trump and is not from the government in limiting reporters' rights. Because even though, let's be honest, even you want to see a guy who violated reporters' rights, it was Obama. I mean, jailed reporters. And because, by the way, a reporter doesn't have a special right to not release a source, right? So if they get I don't want to get into that, but there are some grounds for why Obama detained reporters. And incidentally, the courts left it alone because there's a standing rule, and as long as the rule isn't violated, you're fine. But here's the deal: far more damaging than any government action against a reporter to the establishment media is new media, is competition. Liberals love to talk about the Constitution when it helps them, but when it comes to things like competition and free markets and economic liberty, I mean, liberals want none of that. They want none of that. They want protectionism. They want to maintain their status quo. They want to have things stay as they are. And that is why, I mean, if you polled Jim Acosta and all these clowns, they would love to find a way to shut down the Drudge Report. They would love to find out a way to shut down, let's say, the Daily Caller and media places like that. They don't want Breitbart. Oh, my gosh, put those people out of business. But, whoa, Trump told me that I'm fake news. That's it. Constitutional violation. Total rubbish. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
I can't even believe I'm doing this story, but it does tie into everything. This is the Playboy Playmate is going to avoid jail for posting that picture of a woman at a local gym here in Los Angeles and body shaming her. Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. The Playmate, the young woman who I believe was 30 years old at the time, her name is Dani Mathers, and she took a picture of a woman at the gym, and this woman was an older woman, and, well, she was saggy baggy, you know, we'll say lumpy, even. And as I recall from the story, she posted it up with some stupid thing that she said about, you know, there's some things you just can't unsee. Anyway... caused a big uproar, rightly so, because there's an expectation of privacy in a gym locker room that you're not going to have your picture taken, and appears it violated some criminal counts, of course, and so she now will avoid jail time, but will have to serve a bunch of community service. Anyway, I'm curious. This is a big story. There's a lot of outrage. You had a Playboy, good-looking girl, right, who posted a picture of a not-so-good-looking woman. I think, in part, the story was driven by the idiocy of youth, right? You know, this is one of my hugest pet peeves. We don't respect our elders. There's no deference to age in our society. I hate this. That was part of the undercurrent that made people really upset. But I just want to again mention to you that the interaction or the reaction to this story when it came out was, I think, very appropriate. This is not cool. And if you were at the gym and you saw some, you know, bimbo girl snapping pictures of a fat lady, and I'm not even saying this lady was fat, but just some, you know, unattractive older woman, you wouldn't think that was okay and you'd step in, right? You might say something. If you were me, okay, you would say something. Trust me. But now you've just substituted out some names. And instead of 71-year-old woman, you've got 71-year-old president. And you got this media. It's like I was talking to Sweet James earlier. You move it around. And I understand that Trump is a public figure. And before I have all you lawyers get on me about public figure and there's no I'm not making a constitutional argument. I'm not making a legal argument. I'm just making an observation. As soon as you move out the name of citizen X or citizen Y, human being one, human being two, and you move in the name Trump, I mean, it just all gloves are off. And we got to examine that because it's coming from the people that have preached to us for years and years and years about how we ought to be compassionate and how we ought to be more woke and less racist and less bigoted and less homophobic and less transphobic and less germophobic. I don't even know. I mean, just the phobias that we conservatives supposedly harbor are too long to even list. They're longer than the gender list, by the way. All the things that we're afraid of and that we don't like. But is the minute that you've got Trump in there, who is admittedly dismantling the progressive legacy of Barack Hussein Obama of the last 8 years, and everybody is melting. And instead of arguing this thing out on its merits, we're just ending up throwing around personal insults. Sad. All right, when we come back, we've got an illegal immigrant who has snuck in the country twice, murdered cops, and apparently we think that's okay. Back right after this.
Talk Radio. Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rajofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, top of our second hour. Here we go. Let's do this. I saw a news story earlier today about some Border Patrol agents that have been caught on camera by a group that, a humanitarian group that represents undocumented immigrants. And these evil Border Patrol agents, you're not even going to believe the kind of abuse that they're perpetrating down on the southern border. Do you know what they're doing? This is outrageous. They are finding and destroying caches of food and jugs of water that are being left behind for migrants. You've got these... Oh, the way it's being presented in the media is... This is terrible. This is evil, and it's an abuse. So entering the country is a felony. It's against the law. Can't do it. And if you are caught, you are arrested and eventually sent back. Now, aiding and abetting somebody in the commission of a felony is also a crime. Okay? And this assistance that you're providing them is illegal. It's the funniest thing. There's an entire news story, and it's actually in the Daily Mail of all places. And nowhere does it mention, hey, by the way, these do-gooder groups, these groups that are out there helping these poor undocumented migrants, they're the ones that are acting in contravention of federal law. Nowhere does it say that. Another news story today about our southern border involved the prototypes of the Trump wall. You know how Homeland Security, they've built a couple of sections of the wall, different sizes and shapes. I don't know if they've employed different colors. I don't know if there's particular colors that would repel attempts to cross or transverse. Like pink, bright, if it was bright pink, I don't know if that would there's a lot of machismo down in Mexico. So maybe if you put it in pink, and painted like negligee on it. I don't know. It's just a thought. But anyway, the wall down there is drawing so many protesters that local law enforcement agencies are spending millions of dollars having to protect it. And that is also Trump's fault. So this is just a little sample here of what the media, how the media sees this whole problem. Number one, first and foremost, a wall that is on the southern border is inherently racist because this wall, if you are a liberal and you're wearing your liberal chapeau, you're doing all that heavy thinking underneath it, then obviously this wall is designed specifically to exclude brown people and is therefore totally, completely, and unapologetically racist. Now, another thing that we've learned here is that it's okay to break federal law, both, you know, it doesn't matter, both in coming to this country illegally, because, of course, you're entitled on some human level to come here, to be here, and to pursue your dream of being in America. But not only that, you're also entitled to break federal law in helping people break the law themselves. And that's insane. You know, there was a case a long time ago. Somebody actually offered some food to a bank robber and were charged for an inchoate crime for helping and aiding and abetting that person, that fugitive. Totally normal, right? This is not unusual. But it is such a bald-faced, a full frontal, no shame violation of the law, because precisely every argument, again, the argument again devolves into racism. If you oppose immigration, you're a racist. If you oppose illegal immigration, you're a racist. I want to preface it that way. And then we also learn that any attempts to secure the border, or any of these prototypes, all this stuff, you know, right? I mean, that the protests, right? And oftentimes unlawful, you know, vandalism, that people are entitled to vandalize government property because they're so in the right and Trump is so wrong. And so it's okay to vandalize and to destroy. Jeff Flake, last hour, I talked to you about how he laments that in 2017 we abandoned truth. I lament that in 2017 we've abandoned logic, because this does not make any sense to me. Let me tell you about what I think about illegal immigration. I think that an immigration policy, that immigrants are vital, and that an immigration policy needs to be in place that puts people here in this country that we want. We want to have a door. We want to have an open door. But we absolutely want to know who's coming through that door and have a say in who we invite in. Now, a lot of what we've heard today is about Trump's still. They're still talking about Pujolgate, right? They're still talking about Trump's comments about Africa and Haiti. And in part, what the primary criticism here is that Trump really wants Norwegians. He wants nice people from Norway who are rich. Rich Norwegians. The good news is their tax code is so confiscatory that there aren't very many wealthy Norwegians. So you got that going for you, all you liberals. Rest assured. By the way, for all the liberals out there that love illegals because they end up voting in California elections and voting in Democrats, I'm fairly certain that any Norwegians that come to this country are going to vote for you guys too. I mean, for the most part, they're very socialist over there. So rest assured, the Norwegians might turn into a very favorable voting bloc. Now, all this said, joking aside, we do want good people here. We want people, well, first of all, we want people to migrate here who fill a void, who plug a hole, right? This is how immigration works. So, for example, if we have a shortage in a particular sector, let's say nursing, if there aren't enough nurses in the marketplace, the government goes, you know what? We need more nurses. And if we have qualified applicants who want to move here from Zimbabwe and they're great nurses, bring them in. If we have great applicants that are here from Argentina, bring them in. But when we have labor rates that are sinking and sinking, and we've got blue collar families that can't put food on the table because they're literally having their jobs devalued by an enormous and unfettered influx of manual laborists willing to work for cash under the table and for half the price or less with no benefits, et cetera, et cetera. Well, shoot. That's why you have sinking labor rates. That's why you have unions, the AFL-CIO, privately conceding that, you know what, the Democrats really haven't done anything for us. And Trump's right. He's right on this, because our membership is suffering. And for all the political blah, blah, blah that's out there, in reality, there is a problem. And it is affecting the very people that the Democratic Party for years purports to support. So all this said, the wall must get built. If Trump loses steam on this, it is going to be his read my lips, no new taxes. And I saw a little snippet today of General Kelly, Trump's chief of staff, talking about his his evolution on the subject of the wall, and that there are portions of the border that perhaps can be fenced. And by the way, I'm not a hard and fast, there has to be a Great Wall of China across the entire southern border, no exceptions. I understand that there's some natural geography and places where a fence is permissible. Right now, we have wide stretches of flat desert, wide open, that is completely unguarded. Frequently when I fly down to Mexico, I come back through Texas. And when I'm flying back, and I'll land usually in Laredo. And so I know this so well. I'm telling you, I think a lot of people are just ignorant to this. You're landing across the border. I'm 2,000, 3,000 feet above the ground, which is nothing. I'm looking down, and the border is flat, and there's a little trickle of river running through it. There's a trickle. It's something that you know, my 10-year-old, certainly me, could swim across, no problem. Probably wade across. Unguarded, nothing. That's where you put a wall. That's where you put, you've got to restrict this. And the reason is because you want to know who crosses it. To back this up, I have for you in today's news, well, actually, it was yesterday that it happened. There was a gentleman, and his name is Luis Bracamontes. Now, Luis, this guy, he's a piece of work. He went to court yesterday for the beginning of his trial for killing two sheriff's deputies, one from Placer County and the other one from Sacramento. He went on a cop killing spree. And this happened all the way back, I think, in 2014. This has been years ago. He's finally getting around to trial. This is one, and I'm going to just say this, bad hombre. Now, Mr. Bracamontes, he is absolutely unapologetic about murdering these cops. In fact, in court today, and I'll play you a clip of this. There's a lot of, we had to bleep out a lot of language. He might be an illegal immigrant, but his command of English profanity is fantastic. Here is him in court, and I will give you some of the snippets here after you listen to this. Just to get a flavor, this is him in open court with the jury present. He's basically saying, yeah, I did this, and I wish I just could have killed more cops. Listen.
There was no need to put more be silent. Ladies and gentlemen, please step out of the hallway. Dead. I will break up soon, and I will kill more.
Did you hear that? I'll break out soon and kill more, referring to police officers. This guy has been apprehended, arrested, and deported twice. And the reason that he's come back is because he can. Because we're not Japan. Even though that rhymes, I know that's kind of cute. He can because we're not Japan. What do I mean by that? We're not an island. We're physically joined to our borders with our neighbors. And those borders are porous. Now, if you fly into, any airport, any international airport, and go through customs border patrol, they check your passport. They verify your identity. It's not foolproof, but it catches most people that try to get in. But with a wide open border, there's no means of doing it. And this is why you build a wall. It's because you've got a guy who is identified as bad. We know he's bad. He's committed crimes in the past, serious crimes. He gets caught. He gets deported from California, right? So how bad are you really if California is charging you with a crime and turning you over to federal authorities? Under Obama, okay, and Bush, because this goes back some years. I mean, that's pretty bad. You're a pretty bad dude. California doesn't want to safe harbor you, right? Twice, and he comes back both times. And it's all because we do not have the political will to seal it, to keep people out. And it has to happen. And it has to happen now. The time is now, and I'm convinced that the wall is one of the number one issue, if not the pivotal issue, that handed Trump the presidency. I mean, nobody gave Trump the job because he's a charming guy, and they think he's a good husband, who's never strayed. It is not, that's not the issue. There's certain core things that Trump thematically pursued in the campaign and that resonated with the American public. And no matter how many times the media tells us that we're nothing but a bunch of white hillbilly racists because we want to build a wall and exclude people from the southern border from coming across, you and I know that this type of stuff happens over and over again. Just because this guy is sitting in court and laughing as the district attorney explains in his opening statements, narrates in graphic detail the circumstances that led to the deaths of two deputies. And the guy's laughing. And then he's saying, I'm guilty already. Just, you know, I put me in jail, I'll escape, and I'll kill more. That's the kind of guy. And I get it. There are plenty of good people who've come into this country illegally. They've broken the law. They're fine people. They're not criminals. But the argument that there aren't people that take advantage of our lax security is insane. And for every one of these that gets big attention, right? This guy's got a lot of attention on him. He's saying outrageous things. But think about all the ones charged in little crimes, little stuff, but victimized the public. And I know we have people who commit crimes who are American citizens who are here with a green card. I get that. But what do you tell yourself if you're the victim of a crime? And if I told you that our government could have years ago resolved to do something that would have prevented the perpetrator that victimized you to never have been in the country in the first place? If it was you, I don't know, maybe you'd think a little bit differently about it. All right. So when we come back, the press has had some great comments on the subject that I think is exactly invalidated, exactly precisely by this Luis Bracamonte story up in Sacramento. So I'll play that for you. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes. Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I am the voice of reason guiding you through these troubled times. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. sam@samnation.com is the email. I'm here to reach me. Now, CNN commentator John Avlon, speaking with New Day, with David Gregory on New Day on CNN, starts to slam today Attorney General Sessions and talking about where he comes from on this merit-based immigration. Now, listen, it always devolves into accusations of racism. Every single criticism of any efforts to pick and choose who's in this country, who comes to this country, immediately devolves into racism. So look at how quickly he does it.
Attorney General Sessions, who, when he was a senator, Stephen Miller, the White House aide, was on his staff, are a big believer in what they call merit-based immigration. But it is a restriction and redirection. This is not the Emma Lazarus view of give me your poor, you're tired, you're tempest-tossed. This is about give me your skilled, you're wealthy, because we need to focus on American jobs in America first and American workers first. He can defend that all he wants. The problem is the veneer got blown away by the president's comments the other day.
Right. This is the same logic as is employed by these joke Ninth Circus justices who are reading Trump's tweets and in them are trying to find legislative intent, even though legislative intent, by the way, is something that courts will do to look at what did these senators and the congressmen intend when they wrote a law and they look at some circumstantial information. It does not apply to the executive branch. Anyway, I digress. But this is exactly the type of logic employed by the Ninth Circus and how they've been invalidating or trying to stop Trump's efforts to curb immigration. Look, we want to pick and choose who's here. We want the best people here in this country. We want to be selective. You're selective in what you buy. You're selective in what you wear. You're selective in who your friends are. You're selective in what car you purchase. We are a consumer society. A new iPhone comes out, and bam, the one that was perfectly good the day before is now obsolete. It's a piece of crap. It looks terrible. You're embarrassed to be seen in public with it. And you immediately, like an idiot, stand in a line outside a store with an apple that somebody took a bite out of because you've got to have the new phone. But no, when it comes to human beings that are here in this country, no, no, no. We don't want any selection. Just let them in. No background check, no anything. That's what it is, by the way. An open border is immigration without knowing who they are, what their background is, what criminal convictions they've had, if they have any lawsuits, what their family status is, none of that. And with DACA, the problem is, this falls into the whole conversation about chain migration, is you let one person in, and they bring their mother, their father, their everything. I got this friend who is a die-in-the-wool Democrat. He is a New Yorker. He's a very great attorney. I love him to death. He always teases me about Trump, but he's got this Brazilian girlfriend. He's flying to Brazil to figure out a way to get her to the United States. And I joked something. I made some Trump joke because that's who I am. I'm a jerk. And he immediately says, "Don't worry, Sam. I've already got it figured out." And he was serious. He goes, "I'm going to bring in her parents. I'm going to bring in her sister. I'm going to bring in her brother. I'm going to bring God bless America, chain migration." Super. And what did I tell you about this yesterday? What did we share here when talking about welfare? I'm looking at this gal and she's probably 30, 40 years. How old are her parents? Are they going to be working? Or are they going to be on welfare? I doubt coming from Brazil, if they're giddy up ready to go to the United States, that they've got, you know, a 401k, you know, some giant nest egg that's going to see them through living in, you know, West LA. And I seriously doubt my friend's going to feed a whole Brazilian family. So I think there's probably going to be some public support. And it is okay. It is not racist of me to think, well, shoot, maybe my tax dollars should first go to people that are already in this country who followed the law, who haven't broken the law, who haven't committed a felony by coming here illegally. Well, maybe want to help those people first and then worry about, you know, my friend and his Brazilian girlfriend and their 23 relatives that need to get here. There's like we've abandoned logic on this. But you cry racism. Get everybody's attention. Okay. Yep, there's more from CNN. It's good stuff. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We've got John Wolf up next with the news.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, 800-222-5222. Sam@samnation.com is the email. All right. I don't know. Did you see this on CNN where is it Sanjay Gupta, the doctor on CNN? He has concluded that Trump has heart disease. This is fantastic. This is how the media, right, you've got, speaking of facts, right, and fake news, you've got a respected Navy doctor, who, by the way, is nonpartisan, was Obama's doctor, who routinely gave reports on Obama's health, nobody questioned it, but now he's giving reports on Trump, and he's lying. He's lying when he says that the president has a clean bill of health, and Sanjay Gupta, from afar, has diagnosed the president as having some coronary obstructions. Okay. So if that's happening, do you see how they're getting everything wrong? I mean, you know instinctively, right, that that's stupid, right? That doesn't make any sense. You wouldn't. Well, I mean, this is like, you know, calling the doctor, not even calling the doctor, going on WebMD and trying to figure out what's wrong with you. Well, people do that, by the way. Don't do it. That's stupid. You're going to end up, if you read at WebMD, you're going to end up having every affliction known to man, right? You're going to end up having like 20 things wrong with you. Start to imagine symptoms. So anyway, that is what the media is doing right now. There's these imaginary symptoms. Everything going wrong in the world is Trump's fault. And it also has to do here, it all ties back to immigration. David Gregory on CNN New Day talking about immigration. He says that immigration talk is just fear-mongering. It's just fear-mongering, you know, and the Republicans have been doing this since the beginning of time. Listen to what he says.
How many Republicans did you hear after 9/11 who opposed comprehensive immigration reform said the terrorists would be coming through our southern border to attack the United States? Hasn't happened. Because it was just a shameful, fear-mongering exercise on the part of opponents of comprehensive immigration reform, which is not does not include all Republicans. But it just gets in the way of having what the Attorney General says he wants, which is a real debate.
Okay. Well, I played a little clip last segment in case you missed it. It's a gentleman by the name of Luis Bracamontes, who came here from Mexico illegally, was deported twice. Want to assume too much here, but my guess is he didn't come on a Delta flight, okay? He crossed the border because it's wide open. And I don't know if he's a terrorist or not, but if you ask the families of the two sheriff's deputies that he killed, they probably are not calling him anything better. So my point being, this is so disingenuous. There was that terrible case up in San Francisco, an illegal immigrant shot and killed a young woman. This news story, you know, ran for weeks and months. We heard nothing about his immigration status from the local San Francisco, Northern California press. It was just not even touched upon as an issue. And when it was only talked about in the context of how dare people bring this up because, oh, they're bringing it up because they want to stir up fear. It's fear-mongering. This is absurd. This in law is called but-for causation, right? It's the idea that would the particular result have occurred had it not been for a condition precedent? And the condition precedent here is a wide-open border that nobody has the political will to do anything about. But it's interesting, too, this talk about comprehensive immigration reform, because comprehensive immigration reform means to Democrats amnesty, but do nothing about the southern border. Now, I've said here, I in principle, I understand that it is impossible to deport everyone that's here, and a pathway to residency and subsequently to citizenship is, I think, acceptable. But you first have to make sure that the problem will not replicate itself 10 years later. And the only answer I have to that, the most compassionate answer that I have really to this problem, is to build a wall. Plain and simple. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here for my friend, my attorney, my champion, Sweet James Bergner. This is the guy that you call if you've been in an accident, if you've been run over by a car, a train, an airplane, a boat. That actually happened, right? By the way, I saw a video today of some three people are fishing in a little flat bottom boat. And suddenly a speedboat is coming, like hurtling at them, and they're calling out, hey. Of course, the people in the speedboat didn't hear him, couldn't see him. They had to jump overboard. So things like that happen. And by the way, when they do, sometimes you don't know how to do this and what to do and who to call. But you do because you listen to this program. You're going to call Sweet James and his team. You're going to get them to help you out, guide you through the process. You're not going to do it alone. You're not going to wait, not going to delay. You're just going to take care of things right then and there. 1-800-881-2021. That's the number that you call. And you tell them about the case, you tell them what's going on, and they help you. It's that easy. All consultations are free, they're confidential, and most importantly, you don't owe them anything until they resolve your case. All right? So no money up front. So easy. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit their website, sweetjames.com. Ah, yes, I have finally found some kofif here at the studio, and am only now as we're approaching 9 o'clock, putting this amazing dark substance to my lips. Oh, this is amazing. I do love coffee. I think I love wine more, but I do love coffee. Now, I'm going to ask you something about kids. I love to talk about my kids, as you know, because I love them. And they're such a big part of my life. And I one of the great things that I am particularly happy for right now is that my daughter, my middle daughter, Vera, has a best friend. This year, she has bonded with this girl at her elementary school. And this girl that is her new best friend is fantastic. She's smart. She's talented. This is, I know I'm talking about a first grader, but this girl has great parents. She has interests in more academic things. I'm not saying like there's other girls there at school, but believe it or not, in the first grade, you already begin to have girls act like bimbos. So anyway, so this girl that is her friend right now is just, she's just a great person and her parents are great people. And so I am very happy about this. And when we left town and we were up in Utah over the weekend, one of the things I heard from Vera a couple times was like, I miss my friend. And she named her. I'm not going to name her here, but she says, I miss my friend. And I thought it was really lovely and touching. Well, anyway, Carol Markowitz, writing for The New York Post, drew my attention to an interesting trend among the elites that know so well what we ought to be doing with our kids, that there's a movement afoot in education and in parenting that severely discourages kids from having best friends. Prince William has sent his son and Duchess Kate, right? They've sent their boy to a school that outright bans best friends. Now, this writer, Carol Markowitz, writes for The New York Post, our schools began to ban best friends, too. Most parents know that schools have been doing this informally for some time, but psychologist Barbara Greenberg caused a stir with the recent piece in U.S. News & World Report, noting that she sees a trend of American schools implementing an actual ban. Now, she goes on to say that people are concerned that it causes some left-outedness. That's my word. It's not a real word. Causes kids emotional distress that they have this one person that they are with, and that is exclusive, right? Because if you've got a best friend, the girl over there isn't your best friend. You know, that's a problem, you know? And we know, what else do we know about liberals? They want kids to be mollified, to be coddled, to be spared the rod, to never be talked to in a strict way. They want kids to be protected at all costs. When we come back, well, I'm going to give you my reactions, but some insight to this. This is such a load of crap. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. So, there's this movement afoot to restrict students or to schools to dissuade or flat out ban students, kids, from having best friends. And the idea behind it is that we don't want to, you know, we don't want to do this type of thing for kids to pair off and become exclusive and exclude their classmates and make them feel bad. I'll tell you. Having a best friend, I don't know, a lot of people have had this type of experience. You have a best friend, and it is one of the first experiences that you have as a human being with a one-on-one relationship, somebody that you're responsible to, that is not a parent or a sibling. And it is an extremely valuable rite of passage. Having a best friend is there's a responsibility there. You can't be a jerk because your best friend won't be your best friend anymore if you do that. you have to take care of your best friend in a way that you wouldn't just, you know, all of your friends. And sometimes you grow out of a friendship, and that's a painful thing to reconcile for some. In fact, I would argue for many. But all of these things that I'm describing, and this by no means is an exhaustive list, but all these things that I mentioned here are normal, healthy parts of growing up and figuring out who you are, what kind of people you want in your life, what kind of relationships you want. I would argue, and I'm no psychologist, but again, I've lived and I have kids and I'm married. And I understand that, you know, best friendships prepare you eventually for pairing off with a partner. I would think in the past that some of my good friends have prepared me to be a bit better father and a better husband. But also troubling in this entire trend is the idea that, and these are liberal policies, make no mistake about it. There's no conservatives out there saying, I can't have a best friend. Those are liberals, okay? And where all this comes from, they believe in this whole idea that it's a village out there. That we are just these like particles out there all combining one giant organism, and that is what society is. And the de-emphasizing of the individual is at the core of liberal ideology. The left does not celebrate the individual. The left celebrates the collective. And it is this collective that is more important than anything that the individual does. And I would argue that best friendships are critical. I don't know, as a means or platform of where you figure out who you are as an individual and where you have an individual responsibility to another individual. And I could see why the left doesn't like it. And they're hiding behind the feelings, you know, we don't want to have anybody excluded or hurt. But this is a terrible, terrible idea. And we ought to crush this wherever it pops up its ugly head. All right. We got to get rid of this. Total nonsense. Okay. Well, unfortunately, we have some preemptions this week, so we are off. No, I'm excited. The Kings are playing, you know. Go Kings, go. But we are off, and we are not here tomorrow or Friday, but we will be back. Are we back the following Monday? Yes, we are. Okay, good. We're here on Monday. So get the podcast. You know where to find it, samnation.com, iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. Get the podcast. You can carry me with you in your pocket wherever you go. Think about that. How wonderful. Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation, over and out. People.